good morning and welcome in today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce Napa edition. I'm Ira C. Smith, and before we get started with our special guest for today, let me tell you about a special that down at the Chamber office in downtown Napa. They have received their compliance posters, and for all of you business people, and all you may want to pick up copies. They have both English and Spanish. They have the posters in paper or laminated posters available. And you're supposed to display these posters where employees and applicants can easily read them. And you can get them. They are available now. And if you get one, why, they'll also make sure that you receive complimentary posters if new laws are enacted by the California legislature during 2020. Anyway, that's a little message from the chamber. Now get set, and here we go. Yes, welcome in now to Day in the Napa Valley. Did you know that we have a chaplaincy in Napa County? Well, we do. That works with law enforcement, with fire and EMS. And our chaplain, we're happy to say, is joining us today. So, Lee Shaw, let me just say good morning and thank you for coming in.
Hey, well, good morning, Ira. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I've listened to you for many years, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here today.
You know, it's interesting to know that we have a chaplaincy in Napa County. How did this all get started?
Well, Ira, back in about 1994, then Police Chief Dan Menez invited all the clergy in the valley to come to his department and asked them to consider being a chaplain in his department for the Napa Police Department at that time. And that's how it kind of got started. And myself and about 30 other individuals met with Chief Dan Menez. And as I joke about it many times, I was the only one stupid enough to return. Everyone else stayed back, and I was the only one that actually followed through with the whole thing. And so it's been an honor and a privilege to be with the departments.
All right. Well, let's find out about the background of Lee Shaw. Tell us, are you from Napa, or where did you grow up, and how did you get into this field?
Well, Ira, I was actually born in Texas, so don't hold that against me. But surely I jest. And I was a pastor here in the valley for quite a few years.
And where were you the pastor?
I was a pastor here in Napa.
I mean, what church?
It was called Morning Star Ministries. Uh-huh. And so we did that for quite a few years, and I was involved in the Calvary Chapel of Napa. I helped begin that church years ago. And then we moved over to Morningstar Ministries. And then while I was doing that, the Morningstar Ministries is when several of my friends were chaplains throughout the state of California. And they kind of got me interested in pursuing that career a little bit. And so that's how it kind of got started. And then January of 1994, Chief Dan Menez had that meeting, and that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out about what you consider the duties of a chaplain, whether it relates to law enforcement, fire, or EMS.
Well, good question, Ira. We consider our duties, first of all, number one, to our first responders. That's always been our concern. That's always been the bottom line, the very core value of our program, and that is to make life a little easier for them, so that they can go home and in a little bit better condition. So we not only serve the first responders, but we also serve the community victims and witnesses of crime and trauma. And so our main goal is to provide assistance to the agencies at no cost to them whatsoever, 24/7, 365 days a year, holidays, whether that's Christmas, New Year's, whatever. We're on duty at all times to provide this necessary care for them personally in their personal lives, as well as the victims and witnesses and that type of thing.
You allude to we. Are there more people involved than just you?
Yes, Ira. There are a total of 8 of us at this point, and we have a full team. We've got a great team of chaplains, and we also have Niles Goldstein, a Jewish rabbi here in the city of Napa, that joins our team occasionally. And so there's 8 of us at this point, and so that's the we.
Well, I know in the past couple of years, you have really been busy. Not only here in Napa, but around the country.
Yes, sir.
So let's focus back now on some of the ways that the chaplaincy has fit into the fabric of our country.
Well, I think, first of all, Ira, one of the first calls I went to nationally for some of the national tragedies was Ground Zero. And I served there for four different times for a total of 28 days. And was right there on the pile. And still to this day, I still have contact with some of the New York firefighters and the Port Authority police officers and even the crane operators.
What was your thought when you arrived there and saw what had happened?
Well, it was unbelievable, Ira. It was there's no picture or photograph that can truly depict what we saw there. It was just overwhelming. And I probably, my eyes leaked probably every day when I was there at Ground Zero. And so I served at the morgue up on First Avenue when the bodies and body parts were brought, and also served on the pile.
Well, that had to be tough.
Well, you know, it was the way chaplains are, we're kind of created for this. We're made for this. I always tell people I can't do dental hygiene or ballet, but I can do this. And it's kind of like I can't be a police officer, but I have some abilities in this area. And so it was tough in one sense, but it's not something that knocks us down. We're there to serve and to help, and we just seem to have that ability to walk through catastrophes and still maintain our mental capacities and our emotional abilities when we're in the midst of those kind of things. So it was really difficult at times. I remember one time I was being toured by a pathologist, and I looked over and there was a table. They were examining some body parts, and this man had a hand, an actual human hand in his hands. Oh. And it was just below the wrist where it was cut off, and but it had red fingernails. And I said, oh, he's got a lady's hand. He goes, no, that's not a lady's hand. That was the blood, the red in those fingernails is from the blood in the hand. And this hand had been in the debris for a couple of weeks. And it was in amazingly good condition. But those are the kind of things that we came across hourly.
Well, I don't know how you could handle something like that. Well, then, did you meet the people? How did you come in contact with the survivors or the relatives of those that had deceased?
Well, some of the individuals that were primary in my ministry there in New York were introduced to me by the New York Fire Department. They asked me, for instance, Bob Millmore was from Rescue 5 on Staten Island. They lost, I think, 11 men. And I met Bob on the pile, and Bob and I worked together every single day. And finally, one day, he invited me to help one of their widows. And the widow had three children. And so that's how I began working with her and her three children. And so that's kind of, we worked through some of the individuals, the first responders who knew individuals, who knew victims and survivors, and we would start that way and work with them. And then just walking around New York and being on the pile and being with so many people and college students and whatnot and survivors, mothers and fathers looking for their loved ones, and we would run across them that way. So,
well, you must do more than just condolences. As far as when you meet these people, then do you just mainly just try to be of help to them, or in what ways do you assist?
You know, that's a great question also, Ira. And here in Napa is example. We don't go to an incident in which we go there with a goal to talk, quote unquote, with somebody. A young mother who just lost a 2-year-old son in a drowning is not interested in talking to anyone at that moment. So we go there to, number one, assist the first responders. And then as we work with first responders, helping the survivors of this incident, we help them in practical ways because they have no idea what to do. Sometimes they can't even remember their phone number. They don't even know what they're doing sometimes. Sometimes they're hysterical. And so we begin to help them in practical ways. One particular family lost a three-year-old that was accidentally run over. And it was actually the family dog that actually caused that particular accident. And I've been involved with that family now for close to 20 years. So we help them in practical ways. Sometimes it's Christmas presents. Sometimes it's meals. Sometimes it's Christmas trees. Whatever the needs of the families are, we help them in practical ways, especially working with the coroner's office. We work very well with the coroner and the Napa County Sheriff's Office. So we know where the body is, if you will, what their next steps are. We give them documents and guide them through. And oftentimes we do funerals. I've officiated at well over 600 funerals, just helping people. And those are practical things that we can help them. We don't just offer a pat on the back. We work with them until that family is somewhat stable and they have enough support around them so that they can continue to move forward. That's our goal.
Before I ask you about some of the other areas outside of Napa, let's focus back 2 years ago, October of 2017, and the fires that we had here. Were you called upon then, and in what respect?
Yes, Ira, we were. And actually, about every critical incident in this county, you can count on the chaplain team being involved in that incident, whatever that might be. But 2 years ago in 2017, we helped in numerous ways. Our entire team got involved, sometimes at roadblocks where we would help and assist families back into their destroyed homes. And we would help them in practical ways and assist them kind of emotionally to be able to face what they saw. At one particular case, I remember the elderly couple that died up in Silverado Country Club. I think they were 100 and 102 years old, and the caregiver with this couple were not able to get them out of the house fast enough. The fire just consumed the home very quickly, and so myself, another chaplain, Joanne Duncan, and I worked with her what we call crisis intervention, worked with her for several hours, some days after the incident, because she was able to escape, but because there was no electricity, the couple were in wheelchairs, she could not get them out of the house, so she was deeply traumatized. So we do those kind of things. When people, there's an issue of trauma, we work with them in that sense. Does that make sense?
Well, I guess it's an idea, because a lot of people do not realize that we have a chaplaincy here, and I think we need to let people know about your value, because it is tremendous. And just a reminder that we are speaking with Senior Chaplain Lee Shaw here in Napa County. And you've been various other places. You mentioned about New York, but tell us about some of the other places that have called upon your services.
We also helped when the Sandy Hook school shooting several years ago. That was one of the most traumatic, difficult things, because we had over 20 children and quite a few teachers that were murdered that particular day. I worked with the first responders on that incident. And I attended several of their funerals, and oftentimes we do that. We will just go with the first responders. We will go with the family to the funerals. And there's something about what we call it, a ministry of presence. There's something about it, Ira, to have someone just next to you that is somewhat stable, if you will, and can be objective. And you know that there's a certain peace about that individual that can assist these families through the mess that they're involved with. To be by themselves, it's almost impossible. I've had them tell me many times, there's no way we could have done this without you. So we're with them through thick and thin, so to speak.
Did you receive special training for this? Or how did you get prepared?
Yes, Ira, what we did was, as a pastor for many years, I did counseling for 40 plus years, but to become a chaplain, you have to have some special training as it relates to even how to do a death notification. And so I've attended many academies, and the International Critical Incident Stress Foundation, they provide crisis intervention training. And so I have extensive training in those areas. And matter of fact, even I have a master's degree in chaplain program and ministry. And my thesis was actually done on death notifications, believe it or not. And because there's a certain way to do that. And so we, how a person is notified of the death of their husband that just left 2 hours prior, and they're expecting that husband back any moment, and then you walk in the house with an officer or a deputy, and you have to, you have the responsibility, the sad duty to tell them that their husband is now dead. You have to have a special way of doing that. And so we get lots of training and crisis intervention because so many people are traumatized with this kind of thing. So,
well, we're closing out 2019 and moving into 2020. So we're focusing on the various aspects that have come before Chaplain Lee Shaw. And as I recall, they had also asked for your services after the Las Vegas shootings.
Yes, they did. In a kind of a smaller way, because we had a first responder here in Napa who had family in Las Vegas that was involved heavily in that shooting. And so I became involved with that family member and helped them through their crisis, doing crisis intervention. This was a young mother and was just horrified. And to hear her description of what went on that particular terrible night is just almost unbelievable, the things that people face nowadays. So we did help in that sense, and it was a privilege to be able to help her for sure.
Let's reflect back on some of the other experiences that you've had and perhaps we're not aware of here, that such things do occur right here in Napa County.
I think that I remember, do you remember the bridge collapse that happened years ago here, the Southern Crossing here? The over Imola, that bridge, when it collapsed, we were on duty for that when we lost a young bridge builder that night. And actually, our firefighters, I think it was Captain Phil Hanley at that time, crawled through the debris that night and found the young man who had died. He had been crushed by a large steel beam. And Phil Hanley, who actually became one of our chaplains some years later, Phil Hanley went over, found the body, said a short prayer over the body and for the family and the first responders. And but we got involved in that type of thing. We were involved in the Yountville double murder suicide a year or so ago. We were involved in that. And we get involved with SIDS deaths, any kind of shootings that occur, structure fires, major structure fires, terrible suicides where people set themselves on fire. And we get involved in that kind of thing to help the survivors, the family of these individuals. You'd be surprised what goes on behind the scenes here in Napa County. You'd be surprised.
How do they contact you, in need?
What happens is, number one is we're connected to the Napa Police Department, Napa Sheriff, and, of course, AMR, our ambulance service. And what happens is the agency itself will respond. Usually they're first, whichever one may get there, arrive first. They contact dispatch, and they say, we need a chaplain, or they say, we want the chaplain to respond immediately. So dispatch makes contact with us, and then I contact one of my team members, and we respond in twos to the incident at that point. So it's the first responders contact dispatch contacts us, and we go immediately to the scene, and we try to be there within 20 minutes. 10 minutes, let's say it's 2 in the morning, we try to get up and get out of the house, our houses, in 10 minutes or less, and arrive across town in 10 minutes and try to get there as quick as possible to help these first responders.
Well, you're basically on call then about all the time.
Just about, just about.
How does this work with the family, knowing that you are on call?
Well, we're in a stage in our life, my wife and I, bless her heart, Mary Shaw, I could not do this program without Mary. And but because all our children are all grown, and my wife is a holistic nutritionist, she has her own business, And she's a beautiful lady in so many ways, but she's very supportive. And we both kind of look at this as a co-joining of help to our community. So she may not go with me on an incident, but she's there to support me and to help me through these kind of things. And it's kind of interesting. Mary has a difficult time even going into the hospital, just walking in the hospital. And so she certainly can't be a chaplain, because we're in the middle of what we call the mud, blood, and the beer, so to speak. But Mary is just, we've been married 48 years, going on 49, and we're a team. And we work together real well.
Are any of your kids in the area?
I have one son. That lives, Dave Shaw lives here in Napa still, and I have another son that lives in Washington, and I have a daughter that lives in Alaska and works up there. So.
Yeah. Anchorage or outside?
It's outside of Anchorage. It's in an area called Soldotna. It's a little Russian community. Hmm. I actually, through a SIDS death that I responded to years ago, this particular family owned the business in Alaska, in Soldotna. They got to know him. We became friends. They got to know my daughter. Next thing I know, they hired my daughter, and I've been kind of bitter about it ever since. So they stole my daughter. So that's how that all worked out.
A lot of darkness up there this time of year.
Yeah. I don't know how they do that. I don't know, Ira, how they handle that darkness. And then, too, the other parts of the year, they have so much sunshine, they have to put shades over all their windows. So they can sleep.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy world up there, but it's beautiful up there, Ira.
Oh, it is.
It's really great.
Yeah. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're privileged to have Chaplain Lee Shaw with us at this time. And before we run out of time here, as we get into 2020, let's find out about the agencies that you work with, the ones that you serve.
Right. Ira, we serve actually 20 different agencies in the city and county of Napa. Every law enforcement and every fire service in the city and county of Napa, but primarily four agencies: Napa Police Department, Napa City Fire, Napa County Sheriff Department, and AMR, our ambulance services, because those four primarily respond to every incident that we go to.
Mm-hmm. What about the number of hours? Do you keep track of that?
Yes, we do. We have a great track record of all the things that we do and the hours that we serve. And one five-year period, even though we've been doing this for 25 years, one five-year period, we put together the amount of hours. We responded for about 74,000 hours in that one five-year period.
Wow.
So you multiply that times five, and you get some idea of the work that we do here in the city and county.
And you're a nonprofit.
Yes, sir. We're a nonprofit. And so we receive no funding from state or local or federal agencies whatsoever. And we're supported by individuals in the community, firefighters, police officers in their personal lives, sheriff deputies, things of that, and churches, local churches support us. And actually, we've donated through, there's an organization that estimates the value of volunteer time. Mm-hmm. And just estimating the time of hours, the amount of hours that we have provided to the community of Napa, it's probably close to a little over $7 million in value over the 25 years.
Wow.
So that we've just given at no cost to these agencies.
Any idea the numbers of people that you have assisted?
Well, very conservatively, Ira, we've assisted well over 45,000 people in our time here in the county. And that's very conservative numbers. So some of those have to do with critical incidents, and some of those have to do with bike rodeos and assemblies and things of that sort. But many, many people for sure.
Do you have any direct contact from people that are in need? In other words, can they directly contact you, or do they need to go through an agency?
The best way to get hold of us is through Napa Dispatch. If there is a critical incident that they need help with, to go through the agencies first, and then the agency makes contact with us, and that's how we get involved.
Mm-hmm. Are there other aspects that you can share with us now that relate to the chaplaincy?
A few more of the places we've responded to, Ira, through the years is Hurricane Katrina. My wife and I both responded to Hurricane Katrina, worked with the state troopers there in Louisiana, and in New Orleans, working with the officers there in New Orleans. And we also responded to the Sutherland Springs, Texas Baptist Church mass shooting. We went back to that incident and actually got to know very well the individual who stopped the shooter. He was an NRA instructor, and he was able to stop this shooter. We've also involved with the Aurora, Colorado mass shooting, the theater mm-hmm. mass shooting. Myself and another chaplain went back. We helped 33 of the survivors of that mass shooting. Very critical. And some of these things, Ira, it's amazing how long these kind of things can impact a person. And so those are a few other ones that we've been involved with. And so it's always a privilege for us to do that. And it's like kind of like I said, I can't be Ira C. Smith and I can't be a radio announcer, but somehow I can do this.
Well, you do a lot more and a lot better things than those other aspects that you allude to.
Oh,
but
Ira.
I know we are so appreciative of your services. And just to let people know that if you'd like to find out more or maybe have a program from Chaplain Lee Shaw, that you can contact him and he can tell your group more about what is involved.
Yes, sir.
You do have a very nice slide presentation and all
that. Yes, sir. We do.
So just to make the contact. And
Yes, absolutely.
So,
anytime.
You never know what's next on your agenda.
Absolutely. Next 5 minutes, we could have a major structure fire. We could lose a baby in the next 5 minutes. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so true,
yeah.
Ira.
Well, we needed to know about the chaplaincy that we have in the Napa County, and all we can say to Lee Shaw is keep up the good work there and the good support that you receive from your wife there, too. That's a real plus.
Absolutely. Yes, sir, Ira. Thank you for the time to be with you today and your audience. And
let's have a safe 2020.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with you, Ira.
All right. We've been talking with Chaplain Lee Shaw, and Her Highness is up next, the mayor of the city of Napa, Jill Teckel. So, Jill, Happy New Year. Hope it's going to be a good year for you and for the city.
I do believe it will. It's been great. 2019's great. 2020's the last year of my term. I'm not running.
How does that make you feel?
Energized a bit. There's a little bit. Brad was emailing me the other day because I think he's not going to run again. I think he's over in 2022 or his term's up. I don't think he's decided, but we were sort of saying, what are some of the hard things out there that maybe we should really kind of work together on in this kind of last
year. Well, you're just a kid yet, so you're going to have to be doing something.
I'll still run with leadership in Napa Valley. I love doing that and planning the curriculum.
You're one of the originators of that.
It's been, and it's still exciting.
How many years now?
I'm class 33 right now.
So 33?
30 years, yeah. The Joe Threat and the Chamber Board started it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evolved into its own separate organization, and it's found its niche in our community and brings the valley together. I like that part of it. So.
Everybody has their own interest, and you hear about it. So it's got to be a tough buffer zone there as far as—
Sometimes, but I will say, because we were just mentioned leadership, is, they're kind of come in fresh without biases, and so it's kind of interesting to hear from them. If we present to them, we did planning day a couple weeks ago, and present to them a situation. It's just how they think through it. It's good for me to hear that fresh eyes and what are they seeing and what do they think should happen.
All right, well, at the start of the new year, tell us about the thought, how this got started and some of the things that are done. I mean, do you all have to come up with a project, or how's
leadership,
this leadership?
Yes, I divide them into groups, so there's five groups in each class, and they look
how many in each group.
Six. So that's 30. I have 30 in the class.
And that's a limited number.
Right. It's, sometimes we do buses. You get too many, you can't have that intimate experience. And it's very experiential. So it's about me creating, or my day coordinators creating, activities for them to do that help them learn. And they learn together in groups. So a lot of it just prepares them to be out in the community.
They learn all about Napa Valley, not just the city of Napa?
The whole valley. So Next time we get together, we're doing criminal justice, the 3rd, I think, of January, and we'll learn about police and fire and the sheriff's office, and we'll go out to the sheriff's office, and we'll hear from the judges, and we'll hear from the district attorney. So just how all of it fits together, we'll visit the jail, which is sobering, and visit juvenile hall, which is somewhat. Mary Butler's done just such a fabulous job out there that's uplifting if it can be. And then 2 weeks later, we'll have Tourism Day and explore what's happening with tourism in the Valley.
That's exciting.
There's so much going on, and there's so much behind the scenes. So it's, you know, to understand why we market the way we market, why we market midweek off-season in order to bring visitors here when they traditionally aren't here. Mm-hmm. And some of the challenges we've had with the disasters, the weather issues, the PSPSs, and, you know, how does an industry like tourism deal with that? So,
what are some of the projects that the groups have come up with?
Oh, boy. You just mentioned one. Senior Moments was a project that they said, how can we connect with the senior community? It's an important, actually growing segment of Napa. And, you know, maybe if we put a radio show on that just was aimed at them and the things that seniors might be interested in or services they might know about. So they put that together and have been organizing the speakers for the past year on that. So it's projects like that, yeah.
Now, do you have a title connected with this? Are you as far as an administrator of the program?
I'm program coordinator.
Okay.
And there's Gail Abramowitz is the sort of the day-to-day, collects the tuition, helps the board with their initiatives. I just basically run the program.
Yeah, just basically. Yeah.
Just basically.
Little things like that.
But, you know, there is a lot of behind-the-scenes recruitment and selection and all those pieces that are handled by her and by a board. I've got a really good board of directors that really gets in there and does work.
Do you have one class a year?
One class a year.
Mm-hmm. What's 2020 look like?
Well, we are pushing recruitment up a month. We usually end the end of April. We're going to end the end of March. So we can do the interviewing and people can get ready. When you end the end of April with your recruiting, then you're interviewing in May. And May is such a crazy busy month. So we're doing a lot of outreach right now in the Hispanic community. We really want more diversity. And also we've done some outreach down in American Canyon. Because we want people from all, you know, that's how they learn. You know, it's like, well, you can go visit American Canyon, but if you have somebody in your class that's talking to you about what they were doing, and we had Brenda Knight who started Jazz in the Park in American Canyon, and so, you know, they bring their communities alive when they're in the class. So,
well, speaking of our community, you have represented Napa in some different areas as you try to bring the focal point right here to Napa. Can you share with us any of your recent visits?
Yes. I actually, this summer, I was invited to a disaster conference outside of Boulder, Colorado. And they had a lot of female workers, a lot of boots on the ground kind of people, or people that were planning for disasters at a national level. They'd never had a politician come or a mayor come to tell them about the experience that a mayor, it's a unique experience that a mayor has when your town and community is going through a disaster. So I shared mostly about the earthquake and, you know, what happens.
You could talk about earthquakes, you could talk about floods, you could talk about fires.
I was uniquely qualified to come to this conference. But it was, you know, it's a good story. Our community is resilient. It's a word, but it we can see it happen.
It's real,
here.
Yeah.
So when the earthquake happens, you know, one side of the street had electricity, the other side had water, and they just share. And people were taking care of themselves in the neighborhoods. And I think that was the unique experience, was people wanted to help each other. And boy, that led us to recovery really pretty quickly. And yeah, we got the help we needed. People wanted the restaurants. The night of the earthquake, two restaurants were open. I think Downtown Joe's and forget the other one. And within a week, all but two were open. So there was a lot of scurrying to get back and operational.
Yeah. Well, this is your final year as far as being our mayor. So let's reflect back then. What was your first year in office, and what were some of the major changes that you have noted?
Oh, 2005. I won my bid for mayor in 2005. It was in a March election. And I won by 62%, which felt good, felt like people were supportive. I mean, I was saying we need a beating heart downtown. We need vibrancy. We need things happening. And so let's start working on it. And so that was kind of the start of getting investors. They were looking. They became a little more interested in investing. That's a big piece of it. You can't grow. You can't have great things happen unless you've got somebody who's willing to build it and help bring it into your community. I talk about Todd Zapolsky and the First Street Shops. And, you know, we said, this is what we want. And when Todd came forward and said, you know, if you, you know, switch the one ways to two ways, that's going to make it a lot more vibrant, a lot easier for us to have that growth. And so that happened years later. But 2005 was the year I can remember. I'd been elected mayor. I was watching on in the summer, and the New Orleans flooded. And it was such a mess.
Was that Katrina?
Katrina. And I saw Mayor Nagin on TV, and I went, how do you know what to do? And whatever you should do shouldn't be what they're doing. I mean, it was, you know, people weren't being taken care of. The federal government didn't get aid right away. So
we even sent Lee Shaw there.
Yeah, isn't he amazing? He's great. You know, you can have chaplaincy programs, but a Lee Shaw chaplaincy program is really something special. The rain came and we flooded on New Year's Eve night in 2005, and the response that came was amazing. I heard from Senator Feinstein. I heard from Senator Boxer. Of course, Mike Thompson was there in the front lines, and we really showed that we could get through a disaster. We got all the help we needed from the federal government. Nobody wanted to look like they did after Katrina. So. And that, again, disasters are hard, but they bring the community together in a way like we're here, we're together, Napa strong, all those things that come forward. So,
and with all of the strengths, there still are some, I guess you would say, some sad notes or things that did not happen that you would like to or something. Can you think of some of those areas where it didn't work out quite the way that you'd hoped?
Trying to think of, I think... Timing, you know, what's going to happen. You know, we have the Ritz site on First Street and Silverado Trail. That's been an approved site for 20 years.
About like Costco's been about this long.
Costco's been, now, but that's a success story. The Napa Pipe, you're going to see it on the City Council again agenda after the first of the year. We've made all the deals with the county in order to get them the credit for their housing. So now basically the project's going to go through the city process. And we're... The planners in the city have dealt with subdivisions and housing, and so it's a better fit for it to be within the city rather than to be a standalone. At one point, you know, was Napa Pipe going to be just a county pocket? And so we've worked through all that. It's going to be part of the city. Mm-hmm. And when we were finishing up some of the documents, the Napa Pipe team came to City Council meeting in December, and the Costco guy was there letting us know that, you know, let's get going, let's go fast, let them get started.
Will that be one of the first elements of it, do you think?
Yes. We've always thought that's what the community asked for and looking for.
What else will be in that section that we allude to as Napa Pipe?
Yeah, what they did and what caused, you know, some of this work we've been doing lately was they were going to put the housing on the other side of the railroad track, on the riverside, and the Costco's on the land side of the railroad tracks. And they're going to have to put in a lot of infrastructure to do that. And so they said, why don't we build housing on the same side as the Costco side. We can build it faster. We can get moving. We can provide. You know, housing is a big deal now, getting housing built for our locals. So that was a big change.
You know, that is the interesting contrast, because we hear that there's getting to be more congestion and all, and how do we avoid that? And yet still we're looking to put in more housing, which is going to cause more congestion.
Well, or it will keep more people in town. So that's kind of the idea about when you leave Napa in the morning, you see all the cars coming into Napa, that if we can have places for that workforce to live here, then we will take cars
reasonably priced.
And, you know, you're out here with you know, the Gasser property and the new housing we've built here.
A lot of new housing out there.
But we've also put in additional infrastructure so that now there's a parallel road to Saskel.
Yeah, even have a roundabout out there.
A little one. We got roundabout.
Not like the one on First Street.
That one's interesting. And interesting that we're getting, I live out in Browns Valley, so I go out there every day, and to kind of see it and to get experience with it when it's not quite totally functional yet. So, okay, this is where you're going to go.
Big project.
Huge project. Good. I think it's a good-looking project, and I know we're eager. We'll open up a piece of it in January. They thought we might open it up in December, but they're ahead of schedule. So, you know, and then we'll do training classes on which is
probably,
the right way.
You probably grow tired of hearing people complain about the street surfaces, the paving and that type, the chuck holes and different things of that nature. It seems like that you're starting to get on top of that as well.
Right. Is that I don't mind when they tell me about a pothole, because I know I've got the ability to get that fixed. You know, you go online and on our online center and you say there's a pothole on this street. We time. We've got like a 3-day window that we want to get that filled in, and hopefully sooner. So,
wow.
So we've got a plan for that. When we pass Measure T, we've got dedicated funding for streets and roads. So we've got an additional, I think, $8 million a year for the city of Napa. So we're tackling some big projects that we couldn't have done without that funding. And when we went through the process to go to the voters for that funding, part of what the watchdog group said, we don't want you to spend less of your, we want the $8 million on top of what you've been spending. So we have looked back at what our maintenance of effort was, and so we still spend that money on top of the $8 million. So streets have a dedicated source. I feel good about the streets. Mm-hmm. And we're able to use some of that for something people are really, you know, technology is such now that if we can get it into the light signals, we can be pretty efficient at moving people around, but we haven't had the funding before to put in those systems. And so we've got that budgeted to moving forward, that we're going to have a better light system. They're going to be coordinated, we keep promising.
With the change of mayor in 2020, could also be a new face of the city council, too, as two of the members of the city council have indicated their interest in running for your position.
Right. Both Scott and Doris have declared that they're going to run for mayor.
And if they do not get it, will they still be on council?
No. They will, if they both run for mayor, one will be elected mayor, and there'll be two vacancies on city council. So we've had a lot of folks interested, a lot of younger folks coming out. You know, I've loved it. Somebody the other day said, "Well, Jill, if being mayor's, you know, maybe you don't want to be mayor anymore. Why don't you just run for city council?" And I said, no, that's still a lot of work. So, and I don't mind the work. It's just it's time to let a new person come in. And
what your staff is so important to the city.
Oh, well, we were lucky. Steve wanted to come in and be the mayor, and he's exceeded expectations, I think, that anybody had.
His previous job with the police department, too, he was well-versed.
He knew what was happening in the city, but he's on top of stuff. He's brought in. There were some issues in some of the departments, so we're really working through them. He's bringing in top-notch people so that we can really empower our employees to make decisions and to be, you know, people who are on the ground doing things in some cases know how to pour the cement better because they're there and can experience in it. So we're trying to tackle that and empower people at all positions at the city to move forward or come forward and say, hey, I've got an idea. Yeah. You know, and you got to create that culture where we're receptive to it, too. And
so, yeah, or you'll have people contact you with a problem, and then you need to know who you should assign that to.
I assign it all to Steve. But he's lucky. Fran Rostantelli. Is the new assistant, and she comes from Walnut Creek, and she has a strong background in government and in city government.
Is she going to be commuting?
She's got, I think, three boys. She's got a part-time place here, and she commutes some, but she'd like to move up here. So I think she's got one that she'd like to get through school. So
what ages are her boys?
I'm going to have to, I think one is in college, one's... Ooh. In high school, and one's maybe just getting out of middle school. You'll have to have Fran on. Fran's, she's amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's focus on 2020 and the city of Napa. What do you foresee early on this year?
Well, we will have Heritage House, which is the project over by the Queen of the Valley, where we're reusing that property that was a senior housing. And bringing in some housing for those that had formerly been homeless, along with a really huge network of services that will help them transition back into community. And also putting in, I think there's also a low-income part of that. So building more housing for the hardest group to get housing for. I mean, that's a challenge. Same time, we're working on the general plan, which is, you know, really for the next 20 years, what are we going to look like? What should we be prepared for? And so people in the community should be aware that, you know, as we're going to tackle some issues, housing will probably tackle densities. I haven't seen any proposals yet, but that's traditionally what happens. And so that's the time for people to come out and have the conversations. We've got a general plan steering committee, diversity of folks in the Napa community that are there to help create that first framework. We'll have Napa Pipe again, and it should get started on its way in January. And there's always a few proposals for hotels that the Wine Train's looking at doing a hotel. So,
down on McKinstry Street.
Yeah. I've seen some designs. It's nice, but it's you know what we did lately is saying, you know, if you want to build a hotel, you have to come with housing. You have to provide some housing, not all of it for your workforce, but provide some housing, so that we have housing available for people that are going to be working in these hotels, and so. That's worked out pretty creatively, and so Tim Bush and his team is putting in some housing on Old Sonoma Road with a nonprofit developer that he knew. So you can do things creatively, and everybody's got a connection or a strength that's a little bit different. So
we're talking with the mayor of the city of Napa, Jill Tackle. And you mentioned about the homeless. Is that much of a factor in Napa, or is it growing, or how would you evaluate our position in that regard?
Yeah, we're. I don't think it's growing. I think it's in some ways more visible. And until we have a place to put the homeless, then there's been some court cases that say you just can't.
Mm-hmm. Where are we putting them currently?
We have the regular shelter that's out here, mm-hmm. And then we have a winter shelter, so we're sure that people can get in from the cold, and that's one that's just focused on giving you a warm bed at night, not necessarily the rehabilitation or the refocus your life that will come. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've got a local service provider. You know, I was talking to Brendan who works with the police department, and because homeless can be such a big issue for police, they have an outreach worker that goes out and gets to know them, gets to figure out what's a path forward for them to get move on from homelessness. It may be giving them a bus ticket back home to where they're from. It may be finding them just an SRO room. And so he spends his days going out and finding out. And then, you know, he tells me, he said, you know, when they're ready, you know, they know I'm there and I will help them make that next step. And so that's been part of the program. So there's lots of pieces to it. I was down in the Bay Area over Christmas and saw encampments, large encampments under freeways. And we don't have that. We've been cleaning out the ones that were down by the river. I'll get phone calls. People are feeling nervous. Mm-hmm. I think they're more visible down around, we're out here by Gasser property, mm-hmm. more visible here. So it's always top of mind. It's always what we need to be doing is to help find solutions. And it's individual by individual.
You know, we are so fortunate, too, to have the Olay Health.
Isn't that nice? Yes.
That has just really come forth here in the last year with their new facility. What about any other facilities that are on the drawing board for this next year?
No, I haven't. I'm trying to think if I've seen. There will be a lot of. There's always a lot of hotel.
Well, let me
properties.
Put it this way: have you been contacted by individuals or companies about locating in Napa?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I know where you're going. There's a card room.
Okay.
That
out on Lincoln.
Yes. That is interested in moving into Napa, and so that's still going through staff. And going through, so it hasn't come forward either through, I don't think it's gone through planning yet mm-hmm. either. So that will come. I think that will be.
And that would include a restaurant there.
A restaurant mm-hmm. and a card room. So 24 hour. We're always hearing there's some strong supporters for recreational cannabis downtown or all over. And we're looking, you know.
Did you hear both sides to that?
Definitely. I also end up with, one of the interesting things, the local youth have come together and advocated for stronger rules and regulations against vaping and the ability, for them to sell those flavored cartridges.
So that's being considered?
You know, we're looking at what we can do locally. I mean, I think it should be state, it just doesn't
or
make
maybe
sense.
Federal.
Yeah, even federal. Yeah, there was I think one point the president said maybe he'll just outlaw them, but I don't think that's on the table right now. But yeah, and I love this community. I love how connected it is. So I'm in my sweats this morning because I'm meeting Laura and her friend who have run every street in the city of Napa in the past year. And today they're finishing up their loop. And so I'm going to meet them.
And this is who's doing this?
Laura Oresco. She works up at Chimney Rock, assistant winemaker. She's been through the leadership program. But, you know, it's just that fun stuff to connect with the community. So I'll go meet them and then run three blocks up to City Hall.
Well, finally, and just a repeat, have you heard from people that are interested in locating here? Others?
Yeah. I'm... Are you? Do you know what you're talking about? Are you trying to pull something out of me?
I'm just. I know that you're one of the first sources to hear of these things.
Or sometimes they don't because I'm. You know, I go talk to the Kiwanis Club and I tell everybody when I do a speech. So sometimes they keep it a little bit under wraps, and sometimes I'm surprised when a new store comes in. But you know, things to look forward to at the first of the year. The light show downtown.
Yes, when is that going to be in January?
That starts, I think, the 11th of January, and it'll be for two weekends. And it has just taken hold. And part of the magic last year was New Tech students got involved, and the tech groups gave them software and gave them staff to help them figure out how to do this. And they ended up winning an award and going somewhere over in Europe to get this award for being an innovative, hands-on project to get kids involved in technology. And so, you know, that, and so it's that. It's about the making the lanterns and the kids walking through town with their handmade lanterns. And then it's really the artistry that goes on the buildings in town that is spectacular. And that's, you know, we're a tourism community. Sometimes that's something we get. The tourism industry basically pays for that. Again, it's winter, so people aren't coming, so they're trying to create an attraction for people to come. But we're here, and we get it all right on our doorstep.
Well, Mayor Jill, we appreciate your being here. We're going to miss you when you're not in that seat, but we'll still follow what's happening there with your other projects.
Yes.
And I'm sure
the people. Well, Ira, you and I, we're legends. We've been around for a while.
You mean we're old?
No.
Any last comment regarding 2020?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good year, a great year. And, you know, getting that roundabout opened up will be a challenge, but I think by the end of 2020, people are going to say, wow, that made a difference.
Okay.
So that's my prediction.
All right. Well, you've made a difference over the years, so thank you for being our mayor, and continued success to you. And you've been listening to Today in the Napa Valley, your Chamber of Commerce, Napa Edition. I'm Ira C. Smith. Our thanks to Chaplain Lee Shaw and to Mayor Jill Teckel for joining us today. So stay right there. We have a lot more coming your way on KVON.